South Sudan, as one of the oil-producing countries in the world, rely heavily on oil revenue to finance government operations. Now, at least 250,000 to 300,000 barrels of crude oil are produced on a daily basis and delivered to the international markets through Sudan. Well, the country has contracted some foreign companies to help with exploration and exploitation of the oil resources. Now, this is to ensure effective exploration of the crude oil in the country and marketing petroleum products. Government in 2003 established Nile Petroleum Corporation. I'm glad to tell you that here with me in the studio this morning, we are honored to have the managing director of Nile Petroleum Corporation, Dr. Chuol Deng Tong, with us in the studio. Dr. Chuol, good morning, and it's good to have you on the Miraya Breakfast Show.
Good morning, Sevid, and thank you for having us here.
Great. And also we have Mr. Natalia Chuol Nyok, who is the Director of Public Relations, Nile Petroleum Corporation. Mr. Natalia, good morning, and it's good to have you on the Miraya Breakfast Show.
Good morning, Sevid. I'm delighted to be here.
Glad. Let's just begin first with the basics. And before we go to even some of the activities that Nile Petroleum Corporation is involved with, just tell us a very brief about Nile Petroleum Corporation, or known as NilePet.
Well, Nile Petroleum Corporation was established in 2003 under the civil authority of the New Sudan Cans, and then it was registered again in 2009 after the peace agreement, 4 years down the line, and it became one of the national companies in the then Sudan. But then after 2011, it became the National Oil and Gas Corporation of South Sudan after our independence as Republic of South Sudan.
Great. And what are some of the current activities of the Nile Petroleum Corporation?
Well, currently, Nile Petroleum, Nile Petroleum Corporation is the commercial and technical arm of the government of South Sudan when it comes to oil industry. And so we are mandated by the National Petroleum and Gas Corporations Act 2021 to work in upstream, midstream, and downstream. That is to say exploration, oil moving like pipeline, and then we have refineries, and we also work in, marketing the refined products. So Nile Petroleum Corporation's mandate is stretched through upstream, from upstream through midstream to downstream.
So, great. We'll talk about a lot later as we continue with the NilePet Corporation. You did mention about the activities. Now, are you doing your activities, or there's some bottlenecks that you face in carrying out these particular activities?
Well, some of the activities that we are doing currently, as the National Oil Company, we have the mandate of actually taking over the industry after the current investors leave. In the first block that will come back is Block 3 and 7 in Paluch, and this will come back in 2027. And so currently we are preparing to take over Block 3 and 7 in 2027, and we have what we call Operatorship Program 2027, the vision of becoming an operator by 2027. So we are training our engineers and geoscientists so that we take over. We are also involved in the three producing blocks. That is to say, the consortium of Block 3 and 7, the consortium of Block 1, 2, and 4, and the consortium of Block 5A. And so we are, and currently these are the three blocks that are operating. We also have around 23 new blocks, and Minister of Petroleum has just started, licensing around for the 23 blocks. So we will also be partners in those blocks.
Great. And these blocks that the NilePet will be taking over from these investors, just tell us about that. Like, have their contract ended? Is it done with them? Or why are you taking over in 2027?
Well, yeah, the current exploration and production sharing agreement, EPSA, for that block will actually come to an end by the end of 2026. So starting from 2027, it will come back to the government of South Sudan. And so NilePet has a mandate to engage in that block, using its own personnel and the knowledge that we have acquired over years.
That sounds really important. How is that going to benefit South Sudan? I mean, what difference does it make with the current system and the production?
Well, currently, we are sharing the production on the basis of 45% for what we call coarse oil, and 55% is actually coming as profit oil. So the difference it will make is that we'll engage. We have a policy of local content where we are empowering the local companies, you know, to develop themselves in terms of technical, but also in terms of commercial, so that they become economically, you know, viable. Okay. And competent. Mm-hmm. And then when these foreign companies leave, this will be dominated by, you know, national local companies, okay, local companies. And the profit oil will all come to the government. Mm-hmm. We will not share it with the partners because we will have only Nile Petroleum Corporation, and the activities will be done by the local companies. So mm-hmm. it will also, you know, boost their finances.
And this, the first one you said is going to end in 2026. Yes. Yeah. Do we have like phasing out of these international companies?
Exactly.
And what's the timeline here?
This is where we have the Vision 2027 mm-hmm. to take over. That means that we are training South Sudanese, especially the mid-career, those who are working, the fresh intake, those we are taking. So we had a program with Slumberger, mm-hmm. Which is the best, one of the best, you know, service companies, where we screen a number of South Sudanese. We did that in 2018. We screened like 80, and we took 10. Mm-hmm. And then we took them overseas for training of 1 year and a half. So this is the program that NILPET is undertaking, you know, to train young South Sudanese so that they're able by 2027 to take over.
Great. Let's talk to Mr. Natalia. We'll come back to you, Dr. Tong. Just briefly, let's talk about the production and the capacity. The country earlier announced plan to expand exploration and increase daily production. What quantity of crude oil is produced today as we speak?
Well, thank you, Sevid, for thank you so much for that question. I think today the production, I think you can remember what we have been through as a nation, mm-hmm. and this greatly also has affected our production in the oil business. So today we are producing about
In block 3 and 7 in Paluch, we are producing about 106,000 barrel per day. And in block 1, 2 and 4, which is in Unity and Ruing administrative area, we are producing around 31,000 barrel per day. Mm-hmm. Whereas in block 5A, we are producing somewhat 7,000 barrel per day. And these figures have been pretty much affected by the current flood, you know, that hit the country. But, you know, this consortia are working to recover.
And that is what I wanted to ask, actually. Has there been an increase or a decrease, and what contributed to the increase or decrease of production?
There has been a slight decrease, and this is actually attributed to the recent flood, especially in block 1, 2, and 4. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So this was due to the flood.
Great. Let's talk about a little bit about the politics involved, especially the unrest in Sudan. How has the Sudanese political unrest impacted on South Sudan's crude oil transiting through Sudan to the international market?
Well, thank you for the question, Sibit. This is a very important question. And I guess the general public would want to hear about that. Well, it has not affected, you know, the current unrest in Sudan, especially in politics, have not actually affected the movement of the crude, mm-hmm. basically because we are using pipeline and it goes all the way to the marine terminal in Port Sudan, so it was undisturbed.
Great. And NILPET earlier announced plans to establish oil refineries to produce some petroleum locally. Recently, we faced serious fuel issues in the country. Yes. Where are we with that particular plan of refineries?
Well, so far, the refinery in Bentiu, what we call Bentiu Refinery, is up and running. And you might recall that recently the government has awarded roads contract to one of the road construction companies. And so that will also help in transporting the refined products. But on the other hand, we are also working with Ministry of Transport to do Nile dredging of the Nile, because, you know, Nile is navigable throughout the year. And it's one of the cheapest means of transportation. Mm-hmm. So our plan is to move heavy fuel oil from Bentiu Refinery to Juba so that the cost of power mm-hmm. is reduced. But on the other hand, we have in our plan you know, Palogi refinery, and we have a corn refinery, we have Pagag refinery to supply, you know, Ethiopia. We also have a plan of building depots around all over the country. So we are moving well with the current refinery in Bentiu, and it is actually up and running. We are only left with the dredging of the Nile, and this is where we are engaging Minister of Transport and the other relevant ministries.
Great. When you said it's up and running, is it actually producing petroleum right
now? It is producing.
Where is this consumed?
It is, well, because of the road conditions, it is consumed in the consortium area, where is, you know, Block 1, 2, and 4, and Block 5A. So these are the current consumers. Mm-hmm. However, the excess, you know, what remains is put in depots there. Mm-hmm. And we are working now, you know, the most important part here, mm-hmm. especially for us in Juba, is to take this heavy fuel oil and bring it here. The second part of your question is the, you know, the recent increase in prices of refined products. Mm-hmm. And that was due to the fact that, you know, Uganda at the border with Kenya in Malaba introduced this new policy of testing, you know, the drivers that are coming to Uganda. Mm-hmm. And that would mean that they will stay for extra 8 hours waiting
because
for
the
results.
COVID.
Exactly,
okay.
Because of the COVID. Mm-hmm. And so this was protested by the drivers. And they decided, you know, not to come to Uganda. But this was resolved recently. Mm-hmm. And part of the increase in prices is because, you know, the crude prices have significantly increased. Mm-hmm. And that is also affecting the price of the refined products.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Managing Director, as South Sudanese have been asking themselves really this question, you know, they have, you know, oil, a lot of oil in the country, but they still buy oil very expensive. They're importing it from the neighboring countries. You did mention this refinery is now up and running, and soon, of course, it will be used in the country. Is there a timeline where South Sudanese, especially in the capital city, this is where there are a lot of cars, actually, can buy fuel cheaply as an oil-producing country?
Well, Sibit, this is a very good question. And, you know, once the Nile is dredged, then we'll have refined products coming from our refineries here. And, you know, our consumption, especially for vehicles, mm-hmm. is not that expensive. So once we solve the need for power, when it is affordable, then mm-hmm. everyone is connected. So we won't be using diesel for power generation. And that will significantly reduce our consumption because mm-hmm. the consumption of vehicles is not that significant compared to what we use for, you know, generating power.
Great. Let's talk about contracts briefly. How much is NilePed as a corporation involved in negotiation of oil contracts with foreign companies?
You're referring to the new blocks that are assigned.
Mm-hmm.
We are an intrinsic part of the team that negotiates with the contract. I mean, with the new investors. Take for instance, block B1, mm-hmm. which was block B1, which was assigned to South block B2, which was assigned to South Africa, SFF. We were part of the negotiation together with Minister of Petroleum. Because we are the commercial arm and the Minister of Petroleum is the regulator. So whenever there is a negotiation of a new exploration and production sharing agreement, NilePed will have a team that will work, you know, concurrently with Minister of Petroleum. But then after it has, you know, being reviewed, the EPSA, it will go to what we call Petroleum Commission. And these are the three main pillars of the oil industry in South Sudan. So it goes to Ministry Petroleum Commission for approval.
Great. And I'm glad that you're here because you're now explaining for us and South Sudanese get to know, you know, what NilePed is all doing and all that. Now, one of the questions that has always been lingering in people's mind is why are oil contracts not openly made known to South Sudanese and to the public? Mr. Natalia, you can begin with that and then we will give the chance also to add to the managing director
Well, like the managing director clearly stated, we are partners, and because NilePed is mandated with the business to run the oil and gas industry in South Sudan, mm-hmm. we work concurrently with the Ministry of Petroleum. So when it comes to negotiation, we sit together with the Ministry of Petroleum to negotiate the agreements. Mm-hmm. But when it comes time for implementation, we also participate in the implementation. But as to giving information to public, this is a challenge because there is no publication. We don't publish the information so that it is accessible to public. But sometimes, if you go to like sites, you go to the ministry site or you go to the NALPED to look for that information, where this is where you can get the right information about the contracts and who it has been given to. But with time, this is because we are a new nation, but with time we will have that for transparency. We'll have sites where people can go and have access to this information so that they know what their country is producing and what it is being used for. I know now there is misinformation out there. Like, you know, earlier the managing director gave out the numbers that we are producing currently in our oil fields. But to some other people, they think we are producing a lot of oil for now. But because of the crisis in our country and because of other factors in the international market, we are not producing much. But we are trying to manage this little to make sure that we provide service to our nation and also to our people. For, you know, for NALPED to be a viable company and a reputable company internationally and continentally.
Great. Yes, and Dr. Chol, that has come out many times. People say, well, we're producing oil, but we don't see the money. As NALPED custodians of this whole oil production in the country, oil and gas production in the country, where does the money go?
Well, Sibi, that is a very good question. As Nile Petroleum Corporation, as I said, we are the commercial arm of the government of South Sudan. However, you know that the government works under different mandates. And so the responsibility of Nile Petroleum Corporation, together with Ministry of Petroleum, is actually to market the oil that comes. However, the proceeds will get of the Republic of South Sudan, and that is Ministry of Finance. And you would recall the saying of Dr. John that South Sudan has the most pristine land that has never been touched since the time of Adam. And we are seeing that some of these parts have no infrastructure since the time of Adam. So the government now is engaged. So you would recall that, you know, Block 1, 2, and 4, which is Nile Blend, is entirely dedicated to road construction. And so that actually takes a lot of money from the government of South Sudan. And that's where you have, you know, the Bor Road, you have Barragaza Road, you have the road going to Yambio, you have the Torid-Nadapal Road. And so the government is spending a lot of money on infrastructure. That is not being seen basically because the government is not actually publicizing what it is doing. But, you know, a big chunk of the oil money is going for infrastructure.
Great.
And the results will be seen in the next 2 to 3 years.
All right. Now, accountability. Of course, in the last national audit report, the Auditor General said that NALPED was one of the institutions that did not provide any information to the auditors. Why that so, and is it true?
Well, it is not that NALPED did not provide, you know, we have an stringent system of finance where we have our internal auditor that oversee the works on daily basis. And so any approval has to actually, before going to finance, should go first to an internal audit where they check and they will give their approval. And NALPED has always been ready to work with the Auditor General to receive them and to audit the books of Nile Petroleum Corporation. It's just that we were not approached during my time, at least, by the Auditor General to come and audit Nile Petroleum. Otherwise, we are ready.
Great. Of course, you are not there, and we're not going to push a lot on that because I'm hosting you now here because of your time. Right. And how do you ensure accountability during this your time when you're the director of Nile Petroleum? Can you tell us that there is transparency at Nile Petroleum as we speak right now, and what are you doing to keep that going, if at all is there?
Well, thank you, Sibit, for this question. This is a wonderful question. For Nile Petroleum Corporation, you know, being a national oil company, we are also actually answerable to Ministry of Justice. And so all of our contracts, before they are signed, they will go first to Ministry of Justice for authentication and check also. And then they will be brought back to us. We also have to at least have three contractors to be screened and checked for the prices, and we form a committee. We have what we call procurement committee, and it is coming from different departments like internal audit, finance, and legal department is an intrinsic part of that, plus the other relevant departments. And so this is what we do to ensure that all the contracts are actually assigned to a competitor, to, you know, companies with merits, and they are competent to do the work.
And yes, as I said earlier, this is, you know, more of like a discussion to clear some of the misperceptions that people have on what NILPED does and you know, and the government. How do you, I mean, like, corruption, you know, this is something that has been spoken over and over again.
Right.
Corruption in the oil industry, and particularly in NILPED, what is being done to fight that?
Well, you know, Sibit, when you say corruption and NILPED, this is like what we call a thesis statement.
Mm-hmm.
So without giving details, it will be very difficult. You know, even some big corporates are also accused of that, that no one can pinpoint that so-and-so is happening. But as Nile Petroleum Corporation, we have a board of directors that oversees what Nile Petroleum Corporation is doing.
Mm-hmm. But so, is there corruption in Nile Petroleum? Is the institution corrupt?
Well, Sevid, I can interrupt in that. Mm-hmm. You know, to you and to your listeners out there and to general public, I think anybody can create numbers and fake news out there. There are many publications, a lot of fake news outside about NILPED, but not only NILPED, many institutions in South Sudan. But all we need to do, we have to look at evidence. And there are no evidence pinpointing at corruption at NILPED. Yes, NILPED is mandated to make money for the country. And we need money. This mm-hmm. helps the national leadership, it helps our national economy. And it also helps fuel our other sectors of the economy, because we cannot only rely on oil for a very long time. So we need money. NILPED needs money. But we cannot mismanage that money. If there is any mismanagement somewhere, then we need evidence. Any information can be out there, but for anybody to get right information about NILPED, you have to talk to the institution itself, like you are talking to the managing mm-hmm. director right now. Mm-hmm. But all the corruption allegations and everything else is all a creation outside to sabotage the policies and the programs in NILPED. At the center of everything we are talking about now mm-hmm. is leadership. And the managing director provides that strategic leadership and decisiveness on daily basis. Because, you know, His Excellency President Salva Kiir Mayardit has entrusted him with the mandate to strengthen NILPED. And for NILPED, like I said earlier, to be a reputable company, a company that is respected worldwide. So when we are talking about corruption at NILPED, mm-hmm. that's why the MD is here. And he has made some clear policies. Mm-hmm. It will take time for those policies to be implemented. It also will take time to see the impacts of those policies. But then, mm-hmm. at the center of it all is financial reform. And now, there are many departments within NILPED. And the managing director is leading it, the internal audit, the finance, many, many HR and many, many other departments mm-hmm. come together in a committee to make sure that NILPED spending is controlled, to make sure that there is financial accountability in place. So all this talk out there about corruption mm-hmm. has no basis at all.
Great.
These are things created yes. by enemies of NILPED, and also by the enemies of our country to sabotage our projects and programs.
Yes.
And also to add yes. on that, Sibit, you know, at times, you know, some support was coming from the government to Nile Petroleum Corporation. However, right now, this is the time NILPED is relying entirely mm-hmm. on its little income that is coming from the consortia.
Mm-hmm.
And so the oil proceeds are being used on tangible projects for the first time, where you have the NILPED Tower, which is a landmark building in Juba, but also in South Sudan.
Mm-hmm.
We have also paid for the Bentiu refinery. We have cleared our shares for the first time. And this is all happening during my time, because I believe that any company to be viable, you need to have assets. And this will help us actually take loans and use these assets as collateral, so that we can actually venture into new businesses in the industry. So when it comes to issues of corruption, you know, this is the time NILPED is receiving the least amount of money, yet we are able to actually put in place major projects like the new NILPED headquarters, but also the Bento refinery.
All right. Dr. Chwelu, we'll talk a little bit about your priorities now that you're in that position moving forward. But let's talk one very important thing, and that is the environmental protection. Now, issues of environmental pollution has come and has been a concern. We've heard about children being born with deformations and animals dying and all that. What is really happening in these oil-producing fields?
Well, Sibid, this is a very good question. You know, there have been a lot of talks out there about the environment and how, oil production is polluting. Mm-hmm. You will also recall that in some areas, oil production can be environmentally friendly. And so what happened during the time of Sudan, oil exploration and production began when we were still part of Sudan. And so the government of Sudan did not exert any effort to see to it that they produce oil and the associated water is either reinjected or treated to a level where it can be used. So what we did, we inherited a situation from Sudan where the associated water that comes with oil is exposed out there. And this water is highly saline. And so when you talk about pollution and all of this, a saline water, even seawater, that's why, people do not drink seawater, because its salinity is a little bit higher. So in this case, it is exposed out there. We are mandated by the Petroleum Act to do environmental, audit. And this is what Minister of Petroleum and pretty much the government of South Sudan is embarking on now. The tender is put out there, and the companies are being screened. And so environmental audit will take place as a measure of correction. And so we inherited this situation from the north. Okay. The other element is that even those who are talking about deformed kids and all of that, the only two kids that were reported to Minister of Petroleum, the first one was during the time of Honorable Stephen Diew. This case was taken up to Germany. And the second case was also taken to Germany. And the screening was done. It was not attributed to oil production at that time. There might be cases that have not been maybe reported to Minister of Petroleum, but these two cases which were reported, they were taken care of by Minister of Petroleum. I'm not here to answer for Minister of Petroleum, but I'm just narrating to you the history of what happened and how Minister of Petroleum and the governor of South Sudan is handling this situation.
And now that you are in NILPED, and is there anything you're doing towards that, like ensuring that environmental pollution is controlled in these particular oil-producing areas?
Yes, and that is the environmental audit, to establish that what went wrong and how could correction measures be taken. And this one is falling under the Ministry of Petroleum. We are, as partners, we approve the budget for this exercise to be done.
Yes, so how far are we, by the way? That's what I want to know now. How far are we with this environmental audit?
They have just done the screening for the companies, and they will award the contract to one of the companies. And so this is entirely being taken care of by Ministry of Petroleum.
Yes, and both local and foreign companies have been accused of not honoring the corporate social responsibilities that they are supposed to do. Why is this not happening? Why are you not ensuring that these companies actually, they honor their social corporate responsibilities?
Well, corporate social responsibility under all the joint operating companies, which is under the department, there is a department dedicated to do this work, and that is, Community Development Department. And every year there is a budget that is approved. And that budget is used, to do some activities in the oil-producing areas. Take, for instance, in Paloj, they're building schools. They're also building now a technical institute that will actually address issues to do with nursing and, electricians and develop the technical, capacity of the local people. They're also involved in water production, for the local community. And so this one is part of the annual budget for mm-hmm. each company. It might not be enough, but there is an allocation of CD that is approved every year. But this is being taken care of by Ministry of Petroleum. So Nile Petroleum Corporation is not that involved.
Great. Dr. Chol, thank you for coming. But just before you go, as I said earlier, let's talk briefly about current Nile Pet priorities and your priorities as the managing director moving forward, because Nile Pet has had quite a lot of, you know, managing directors over the years. What is unique about you and what are you going to do differently?
That is a very good question, Sibit. As I narrated before, we are working on training of the South Sudanese, you know, engineers and geoscientists, but also, you know, lawyers and, you know, HR officers and all of that. And that is actually to prepare them to take over the industry by 2027. And so in this regard, we have the 2027 vision. And this one started during my first tenure. And we are now continuing with it. So we'll continue to develop the capacity of the new, the fresh graduates, but also the mid-career cadres that are working in Nile Petroleum Corporation. So this is one thing. The other thing is, for any corporate to be viable, you know, you need to have assets so that, you know, you have financial muscles. And that cannot be done when you don't have assets, which is why NilePet is focusing on refineries, but also, you know, building the headquarters. And we will also venture into other you know, segments of the business. We are also focusing on, you know, empowering the local companies through local content. And for that, we have like 10 subsidiaries, and these mm-hmm. are the companies that are falling under NilePet. So NilePet will team up with an investor that has capacity in a certain area. And then we create jobs for South Sudanese. They have the knowledge transferred from the investor to them. And then over a period of time, this company will entirely become South Sudanese. So we are trying to empower, you know, local companies so that they're able to do the job instead of relying on international companies that are coming to South Sudan.
Great. Yes, Mr. Natalia, any final remarks that you would like to send out?
Yes, thank you so much, Sevid, for inviting us. The MD has been articulate about what we are doing as NILPET. We want South Sudan to be attractive for investment. And NILPET in the oil and gas industry is doing that. Like the MD mentioned, there are policies in place, there are programs in place, mm-hmm. but we also want help from the public. You talk earlier about the environment, and that is a partnership. We are collaborating with the Ministry of Environment and Forestry and the Ministry of Petroleum, and then NILPET. We are doing everything we can to make sure that our environment is protected, that our environment is flourishing. So all we need is patience from our people while we are implementing the policies. For us, the challenge is how do we bring stability to South Sudan? How do we bring stability to our economy? And also, how do we stabilize NILPET? This is where there are now policies by the managing director to make sure that NILPET is strong. And once NILPET is strong, our government is going to be strong, our economy is going to be strong, and then we are going to be flourishing as a country. Now, we are talking Vision 2027. And in the center of it, NILPET, we have a program called a shadowing program, mm-hmm. where managing directors send some quality human resource to the operating companies to be trained as potential managers, as potential engineers for Vision 2027. Also, within NILPET, the managing director is sending some engineers outside to be trained. This means we want to be independent. We want to be independently operating in South Sudan. We want to be like the CNPC. We want to be like the Aramco or Saudi Arabia. But we cannot get there without stability. We cannot get there without clear policies. And this is what the MD is providing. In 5 to 10 years, you will see the number of South Sudanese employed in the oil and gas sector doubled. And mm-hmm. this is an answer to the question of youth employment. So it is time that we look to the NALPET as a national company. It is time that we make sure we are presentable to the world. It is time to make sure that we don't create fake news. It is time to make sure we don't talk fabrications, to make sure to bring down our own national company, or to bring down our own national government.
All right.
We have to be proud of ourselves.
All right, Mr. Natalia, thank you so much for coming to Mirai Studios. And of course, Dr. Chual, in less than 30 seconds, your final remarks.
Well, thank you, Sibit, and I would like to thank Mirai FM. As said by my colleague Nathaniel, the government of South Sudan and pretty much every government is trying to involve, to develop other sectors like agriculture and mining. But what is needed here is stability. So I would want to assure the public that Ministry of Petroleum and Nile Petroleum Corporation have now embarked on, you know, survey of the resources. You know, South Sudan is only surveyed for 10% of the mean oil resources. 90% is not done. So, you know, aircrafts and some gadgets have been brought by Ministry of Petroleum so that they do aerial survey of the whole country for mineral, but also oil resources, which is the hydrocarbons. And so this will bear, you know, results in the near future. But what is needed, because the oil money is normally used to actually develop other sectors like agriculture. But for us to embark on agriculture, we need stability in the country. And so I'm appealing to our people that time has come for our country to be stable so that we can actually utilize the resources that we have not yet started. You know, we have a fertile land. 90% of South Sudan's, you know, land area is fertile and good for agriculture, and yet we're importing a lot from our neighbors that are just tiny countries. I'm not trying to say that we are better than them, because we have big area, but let us utilize our resources so that we feel, you know, socioeconomic development.
Miss Dr. Chual Deng, thank you so much for coming to Mirai Studios. We do really, really appreciate your time. And Mr. Nathaniel, thank you so much as well for coming. We do appreciate your time.
Thank you so much, Samuel.
Thank you.
Thank you.